Welcome to the Diamonds and Pearls podcast for the woman who's creating her own path to freedom, walking in her sovereignty and creating an impact using her intuitive gifts. We will chat divine feminine energy, aligning with your purpose, and connecting with women who are here to serve as a leader and create an impact in the collective consciousness. My name is Jessica Shugart, and I'll be your host, and I'm so happy to have you part of this sisterhood, this collective, where we can rise up together. So if you're ready, let's dive right in. What's up, beautiful ladies? Welcome to another new episode of the Diamonds and Pearls podcast. I have a special guest with me today, Julia Halker. You guys are going to love her. She is a body confidence coach and healer. She is all about EFT and Reiki and helping women to just really redefine their truth around food and creating this beautiful relationship with their bodies. So I think you girls are going to really love this episode. We just had a really laid back conversation and talked about even just some things that came up around me being a mom and with Zoe. This culture is just so different with how we're being brought up with food and our image, and just really had me thinking a lot about how I can just continue to support Zoe, you know, as she's becoming a teen. And I feel like this topic is really important, that we continue bringing self-awareness to help our children, help this new generation, right? Because we have so many disorders, we have so many different things that are coming up, and we want to help support, you know, these young girls and guide them to develop a healthy relationship with their food. And I've been really challenged the past month with Zoe, with her eating. And this week, it's so funny, where Red and I are doing a vegan diet just to support her. So I'm not eating any meat this week and really trying to get creative and learn how to cook meals that will help Zoe, you know, with her diet and the things that are supporting her. So we've been really looking at a lot of different methods to really incorporate better health in our food and our diet. And it's been really good, guys. And I want to encourage you, you know, if you're kind of been stuck on like the same plan with how you're eating, just to, especially with our healing journey, we want to, this has such a big part with our vitality and energy. And when we create these practices, healthy practices around our food, I feel it really has a huge difference as well with how we show up. So just wanted to share that with you as well. If this is something that you've been moving through, reach out for help. You know, you can always reach out to Julia or myself. EFT is such a powerful tool to really shift your belief system around food, or anything that you're moving through. So I wanted to share that real quick before we dive into the episode. Also, a couple things. This month we have, I've started the waiting list for the Sovereign Feminine. This is my online course that's going to be launching in October. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out or learn about it, I would love to give you more details. Basically, the program is a 6-week course that we're going to dive into the feminine and her magnetism, her energy, in a grounded, safe space, allowing yourself to move through beliefs or stories that are maybe holding you back from showing up as that highest version of yourself. Through energy alchemy, we're going to be getting attuned and Reiki. You'll be attuned in Reiki level 1 and 2 as well. There's going to be modules on energy management. We're going to talk about your sovereignty, taking your divinity with, you know, taking that, your power back, and just creating practices, embodiment practices to really empower you and equip you as a leader in your space. Regardless of what you do, if you're a coach, healer, mentor, mom, this program is for you as well. So there is a waiting list. You can head to the link in my Instagram bio to check it out. And let me know, DM me if you have any questions about the program. And like always, I have my one-on-one Reiki sessions if you're wanting to book a session with me. I have a bundle that I highly recommend. If you're wanting to do energy work together, we can start with that and I can kind of guide you with what would be the best thing for you. So Julia, you can find Julia on Instagram, on YouTube. I think she shared all the different spots that you can find her. So without further ado, enjoy the episode. All right, Julia, I'm so excited to have you today. Thank you for being here on the Diamonds and Pearls podcast. We're going to have such a good conversation. Ladies, you're going to love Julia. We've connected over on Instagram, and I just love her energy. I love all the things that she's about. So she's also a Reiki sister like me. So we have a lot in common, NLP. And so there's just so much that we're going to chat about. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. Okay. So if you can share with us first a little bit about yourself, we would love to know, just tell us all the things. Tell us about you.
Oh, all the things. I'm like, how much time we got? I'll give you the short version. So I'm Julia. A lot of people mess up the pronunciation of my name because I'm Italian. So I get a lot of Giulia. So that's just a funny tip. I live in Vancouver, BC in Canada, and I'm a body image and confidence healer. And I specialize in EFT and Reiki and coaching and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Beautiful. So, okay. So I'm curious, how did you get started into this work? Were you always on this personal development journey? Like, what was the thing that like made you just wake up, you know, like I need to change. I need to start like really investing in myself. And, you know, we all have these different processes that we go through. And I would love to hear how you started your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So it started pretty young when I was in high school. I grew up in an alcoholic home, so I was a very anxious kid and I didn't really understand what anxiety was. We didn't have a lot of education around that, obviously, in schools. And I just struggled a lot with that. And so I poured myself into being an overachiever in sports and dance. And so that kind of led me into trouble, and kind of simultaneously, I developed an eating disorder in the end of high school, where I just felt all this pressure to be perfect. And that kind of snowballed into me trying to control my food. And really the effects of that were pretty major. I didn't feel good in any way. I felt really tormented by that struggle. And so I kind of reached this point of realizing, okay, well, I've changed my body. I've done all the things that I thought I was supposed to do to be perfect. I still feel miserable. So there has to be another way. And that was the first gateway to me realizing that I had to get into some self-development, personal growth. And so I started dabbling with working with a psychologist in different things and more therapy. And then again, in university, I was struggling a lot with my mental health again. And that's when I reached out to the school crisis center and went through that process of trying to find someone to get the support I needed, because I felt very isolated with a lot of the things that I was struggling with. I felt like, I mean, to no fault of their own, but I didn't hear any of my friends ever talk about things like anxiety or depression or, yeah, just anything like that. So I felt like there was something wrong with me. So that was really the first point in my journey to exploring things that were, yeah, things that could help me and help me to heal from the inside out.
I love that. Wow. It just makes me think, like, when I was like in high school, like, it just brings me back to like, you know, there's so much pressure, right? When we're like trying to be, to fit in and trying to like do, to make friends and just like all these different society pressures that we feel. My daughter's 12 right now and she's like moving through all this, and it's just a lot, you know? And I feel for her, because I feel like it's so different from the pressure from then, like, to now. I can't imagine like being in high school or in like middle school, right? Because I feel like these girls really have so much pressure on them about their body image, their weight. My daughter, she's a vegetarian, so she doesn't eat meat. So there's a lot of around this, like, that I'm learning and it's new to me. So I'm just curious, like, for yourself, like, for you, as you started going in this journey, you know, around like learning about food, did you have like just like an unhealthy relationship with it? What was like your relationship with food?
Yeah, I think from a young age, And again, not to play victim or put this on my mom, but she had a lot of struggles with food as well, where I just saw what she, how her relationship was with food. And I kind of took that on and thought that that's how women should be. And she, yeah, had a lot of struggles, I think, eating consistent meals and different things like that. So I think subconsciously, I just learned, oh, I must be eating too much. I should probably control this. And, you know, exactly like you're saying, it's so unfortunate, but in high school, there are so many pressures. You know, at that time, thank goodness I didn't have Instagram and all the additional pressures, but we still had magazines and Cosmo and Teen Vogue and all those things that still talked about dieting, and you're only 11, 10 years old. So it shocks me when people are able to get out of high school without having any struggles with their relationship with food, because it's so apparent everywhere. So yeah, my relationship was, you know, I think with the anxiety management as well, I looked to food in some way to control that aspect, because everything else in my life felt very out of my control, that my family life and different things. And so I started restricting in my later years of high school. And then it took me so many years to be able to get into a healthier point with that. Only in the last 3 years have I really been able to truly shift the relationship that I have with food. And it is an everyday thing that I will always probably face, but that I have to consciously keep up with my practices, you know, spirituality and all the different tools that I have to help me to be in a healthy place with food. But it is something that people, I do believe, always kind of have with them for the long term, unfortunately.
Yeah, I love this. It's so true, because I was looking at your post on Instagram, and I love the one that you did on J-Lo about cellulite.
Feel like my head popping out of the corner of that reel.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let me just tell you a little bit about me, because you might not know. But I was brought up in the modeling industry. So I did a lot of runway, and just like I had this desire to be on a magazine. You know, I had my wall covered with like all these like amazing models. Like I knew all their names, like Christy Turlington and like all the girls. And so seeing you post that just made me laugh, because it's like, I know the pressure of being in that industry, right? Of like wanting to have that perfect body. And I'm Latina, so I'm curvy. And it was always like one of those things where it was like, I wasn't like thin enough, or like my skin wasn't like clear enough, or, you know, there was just always this pressure for myself. And as it's changed as I've gotten older, you know, I've definitely learned to appreciate myself and my body, and like loving my shape. And I'm a mom, you know, I've had a 12-year-old girl, so my body's different, right? So it's just a process of like loving myself. But I love what you said about J-Lo has cellulite also. Can you go into that a little bit? I love how your perspective of like, you know, the body and, you know, loving yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, J-Lo is an icon, right? And so many of us idolize her and how incredibly gorgeous she is. And I think she has painted a really healthy image in a lot of ways, because she was one of the women early on that had a very different figure from the traditional models like Kate Moss and, you know, the more slim, naturally women. So when she came out, you know, I feel that she put a really healthy trajectory forward of appreciating women with different body types. And the thing that I love too is that we don't always see what goes on behind the scenes. If you look at J-Lo's feed, everything is pretty dialed in terms of the editing, and she looks absolutely fantastic. You're not seeing that she's a human being like the rest of us and has cellulite too. And I think it's really important to highlight that, because we can so easily just fall victims into seeing these feeds and this perfect curation. And then we beat ourselves up because we're like, but how am I ever going to feel good about myself? I have cellulite, I have dimples, I have stretch marks, I have scars. And I think people like the Birds Papaya and different Instagram accounts do such a good job of showing the reality of what goes on and the stuff that isn't edited. And even with J-Lo, it's like, let's draw attention in a loving way to the fact that this woman is also human like us and has cellulite. And yes, she's amazing. Like there's no issues with cellulite, but we get taught that there is. And so I think it would be great if more celebrities and people with that type of a following could be a little bit more real and share with us, you know, their real bodies instead of just always the most perfectly curated posed photos, because that only contributes to us feeling worse about ourselves because we don't look anything like that. Well, some of us at least.
Yeah, I think you're so right. Everything's very photoshopped, and we have so much of that, like perfect picture perfect filters. And I'm so guilty of it myself. Like I've, put the filter up, and it's funny, last week I was like looking at my photos and I'm like, I think I'm using the filter too much because it's just like it's not me, right? It's not really me. And it's fun to have the filters, like, don't get me wrong. But it's like sometimes you look at that picture and you're like, that does not look like me.
I totally know what you mean. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. I had a like sometimes, you wake up, you come first thing out of bed, I look like I've rolled down a hill 3 times. And so you put on a little filter and you're like, holy shit, I look great. And it's really easy to get into that trap of not actually being satisfied with just yourself mirroring back in a camera. And going back to what you were saying about your daughter who's 12, and I can't even imagine the pressures that those young girls feel being exposed to all this and not having the developed, cognition and everything that we have to be able to know it's not real and everything else. Like they're so young and vulnerable and impressionable. So it's got to be really tough to have that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I keep trying to tell her, I'm like, it's not real. Like, just remember, like, people always show the highlights, right? It's not like the tough stuff, like people don't always show that. And she's smart. I've been very fortunate. Like, my daughter's very bright. And I'm like, I don't know half the stuff that she knew when she was 12. I'm like, how do you know this stuff? Like, it's just such a different generation. It's crazy.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So, okay. So we can chat about, I love your perspective on being able to eat what you want, when you want, and the lifestyle that you live. Can you share a little bit about that? Like, how can we release this, like, again, the society stories that we hear about food, and shift that? Like, how did that shift for you? Like, what?
How that shifted was from, as I was mentioning, kind of in high school, struggling with an eating disorder and that carrying forward, there was a period in university where I truly, as probably many people do, you kind of just let go and you go wild. You drink a lot, you eat a lot, and your body, you're being so young, your metabolism's working well, not much changes. Or some people gain the freshman 15 or whatever they call it, but it's just part of the culture. And I noticed how free I felt and happy I felt, and that I wasn't spending so much of my time and energy ruminating over food. Like I pretty much ate tortellini out of a bag every day, like and pizza every night, after the bar. And I was having a great time. And so when I came out of university, it was interesting. I still had that kind of underlying struggle with food. And depending on what situation I was in my life, I think, when my anxiety got high again, I would go back to that controlling of food and having that unhealthy relationship. And so it took a long time, but I basically got to a point of hitting rock bottom where my stress around food and how much control it took over my life made me really sick mentally, physically. I suffered a lot of things. I had adrenal fatigue. And so after hitting that rock bottom, I knew something has to change. And that's when I just said, enough is enough. I've made myself literally physically sick from how much I've analyzed what I'm supposed to be eating and following. I can't even tell you how many diets or, these programs that are masked not as a diet, but as some healthy program with food, which is still a diet. And they didn't work. It's been proven that, less than 3% of people who go on a diet actually keep any of that weight off or the results off, because our bodies aren't designed to restrict. They when we put them into restriction, they kind of rebel, and then we get into this cycle of binge eating. And so I just learned, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. I want to live a life where I can be free with food, where I can enjoy myself. And I've shared a lot of times on my Instagram how much of my life I feel that I missed out on because of my relationship, my unhealthy relationship with food and exercise and analyzing my body. And that went everywhere from vacations, missing out on vacations. I denied a trip to New Zealand with my parents one year because I was so freaked out that I wouldn't be able to control my food and my exercise while I was there, and things like that, where I looked back and went, I can't do this anymore. So yeah, it took really getting to that point, and then deciding that I was going to have a new relationship with food. And it wasn't easy, but I really focused on healing the inner patterns and dialogue that I had around food. A lot of it was fearing things like carbohydrates that we're taught to fear, which are actually very healthy and essential for our lives. So I worked through a lot and faced a lot of the fears and the conditioning that I had adhered over the years. And I you could probably tell just in my Instagram or sort of my branding, like I have this really rebellious energy behind me where I just kind of go, enough's enough. I'm not going to just follow along with what you tell me to do anymore. Society and diet culture, I'm going to pave my own path and prove that I can be an example of someone who falls outside of your rules and still lives a very happy, full life. And so that's kind of where I've been, for the last years. That's like my motto, is I try and like rebel against the diet culture and prove it wrong. And so, each one of us that does that is a threat to their $92 billion industry, which is pretty cool.
I love this so much, because I think that's what attracted me to you, is that your rebellious energy with it, because I'm definitely rebellious in my whole lifestyle, like in general, because I was told to do something for so long that it's like, okay, that's your truth, but this is my truth, right? So
exactly.
So I love that you bring that awareness around food, because I think you're so right. It is, what is your truth, right? We have so many views around what a healthy lifestyle looks like, right? And who says that's the truth, right? Who says that is a way, right?
Yeah.
And, I love that you bring that. So, and I love your story. I think it's so beautiful. So empowering to women to really learn how to appreciate their journey, right? Because we are so hard on ourselves around food, around looking a certain way. And I can really feel that energy from you, like how liberating it is to be able to just be yourself, to just be in your body, to be like, that is true liberation. And I teach this with my clients as well, like with embodiment, embodying this work, because that's really how we create that change, is feeling the feelings, feeling the fear, looking it at straight in the eye and saying, you know what? No, this is not my truth. Right. So I love, 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 love this so much. I think that it will really help a lot of women to empower them.
Thank you. And I love what you're up to. That's so powerful. Embodiment is huge. And I totally agree. Facing the fear and doing it anyway is so important. So important.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, with the tools that we have, right? So can you share about these tools that you use? Like, what are the things that you use to really help you shift your energy?
Yeah. So after spending the better half of 10 years working with more traditional methods of healing, like a psychologist, a therapist, counselors, that type of thing, coaching, even, I learned that there was something missing in terms of me not feeling further along in my healing journey. And so I started to tap into different things related to spirituality, like Reiki. And then a couple of years later, I got in touch with EFT, emotional freedom techniques. And so those two things have been really instrumental in my healing journey. And so EFT, for those people who don't know, is called emotional freedom techniques, otherwise known as tapping. And that's where we tap on different points of the body. And it branches together a lot of different things like NLP, positive psychology, acupressure, a whole bunch of different things, CBT. And we do this kind of cool technique where we're able to face those fears that we have and those negative thoughts. And just by way of how the brain works, when we tap on the issues that we're feeling upset about or fearful of, the tapping itself actually removes energy away from that thought pattern. And how the brain works is, the less energy you have behind the thought pattern, it eventually just disregards that thought and prunes it off. And we don't have it as part of our core belief system anymore. And that's something that we can't achieve just through things like talk therapy and things like that. So when I found EFT, I started working with all these anxieties I had around food. I was struggling with binge eating at the time. And I was absolutely blown away by how effective it was, and how I had worked 10 plus years of my life at trying to heal something that I felt like I didn't really get that far on. And within a couple months of using EFT, I was like, this is insane. I feel like a true miracle has happened here. And I became so fascinated and excited to share that tool with others. And so I then began my certification journey while working as a practitioner. And a couple of years later, that's when I started introducing EFT into my practice. And it's become a core pillar. That's the main thing that I use with my clients around body image and confidence, self-worth, and any kind of relationship with food that you're looking to heal. And then Reiki really supported me to heal in such an embodied way and get in touch with the parts of me that were very dormant for a really long time. I didn't have a really strong spiritual connection growing up, and Reiki really allowed me to get in touch with this universal force that is always supporting us and really living in a vibration that was really positive and a high frequency, and really helped me to have a completely different healing experience that I didn't know I needed, but that was absolutely transformational in my life. And that's what naturally led me into wanting to share this gift with others, and started a healing school with my best friend. And we've been teaching classes ever since, a couple of years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. I love EFT too. It's so
right. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. It looks weird. People are like, what is this? I'm literally hitting my face, but it's so effective. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is very effective. And I rant about it all the time too. I mean, and I love that you use it for food, for beliefs around food, because when you do EFT, you really get that shift like so quickly. And I'm like, if you've never tried it, you need to be trying EFT, especially if you're just needing motivation. You know, it could be something so simple. You know, EFT really can just shift your whole energy, you know, and
absolutely
how you're showing up. And I agree with you 100% on like getting to those beliefs, right? We've got those like subconscious beliefs that are hard to get to, because I definitely went through that myself. Where I was like, you know, there's something missing, right? There's just like, I did all the things, right? Like had the coach, had all the things. And I'm like, why? There's just like, there's something not shifting for me. And then when I started doing the NLP stuff, I was like, oh, okay. Now this is like where I need to really make this shift. So I love that you're implementing that with your clients. I think that's a very powerful tool that they can just take with them whenever they're needing that shift. I mean, you could tap in your car, you could tap wherever you are. It's free.
Exactly. All you need is your hands. So, or not even, you know, it's like, it's so crazy how effective it is and simple it is. And you can learn it yourself and be empowered to make some incredible changes happen in your life.
Yes. And with the Reiki. Okay. So, what level are you, do you teach for Reiki, or what do you teach? I know there's different styles of Reiki.
Yeah. So I am a Reiki master in Usui and Holy Fire. So my best friend and I will teach that same Reiki to our students. So we teach level one, level two, and the master level. And so Holy Fire is one of the newer types of Reiki since around the early 2000s. And then Usui is, as you know, the most traditional form of Reiki, but there are obviously a lot of different types of Reiki, like Karuna and all that different type of thing. But so we focus on the Holy Fire, which is actually now the Holy Fire 3, because it's been upgraded several times.
Wow. Yeah, I'm excited. Julia has a beautiful Reiki program with her friend. What's your friend's name again?
Lex. Well, it's Alexis, but we call her Lex.
Lex. Okay. So Julia and Lex have a beautiful Reiki program that I've been watching, and I can't wait. I'm actually going to be doing the Holy Fire with her. I'm so excited.
So excited to have you. Love Yay. It.
Yeah. So, Reiki, I just love Reiki, and I love that it was like that icing for you too. Like, you know, the next thing, in your healing process. I feel like anyone that does Reiki, it could be transformational and infusing it into whatever it is that you're doing. So whatever kind of coach you are, healer, I feel like there's just a beautiful way that you can just infuse it into what you're doing. And it just shifts so much for you. It's like that beautiful, just like guidance in your process and your journey.
I don't know, and I agree with you 100% that it opens up your spiritual gifts. It opens up like all the things in that little portal there. And there's just so much it just keeps, there's just never a limit to it. Right. I feel like it
Yes. It's the tap that keeps on giving. It is truly unlimited because it's divine source energy. So you can't tap out on that. And that's the beautiful thing. There are always more gifts, more learning, more expansion. And even if you're a master, you're always going to keep receiving more gifts, and you're actually just continuing to ascend your vibration and higher, where there's constantly more to receive, more abundance, more healing. So it's really amazing how much you get from being attuned to Reiki, truly.
What was the one thing that Reiki really helped you with the most? Like, I'm just curious.
Oh gosh. I feel like it's hard to say just one thing, but for sure. I used to be, as I said, I had a lot of anxiety, and I also used to have a lot of anxiety being alone. And so Reiki really supported me to feel this sense of safety and unconditional love, this energy that no matter where I was, alone or not, I always felt this loving presence and this really safe energy surrounding me, which was really huge. And it also really helped me to heal my relationship with my family and my mom in particular, and release a lot of resentments and anger and come back to that place of unconditional love and forgiveness. And so, yeah, any real area in my life that I've experienced struggles in, Reiki really has shifted me from that kind of lower end of the vibrational scale to the other side, and really live into this energy of peace and acceptance and love, which is just such a gift and kind of miraculous, because it's not like I, you know, did a lot. The Reiki energy just kind of guided me, which was very cool.
Yeah. So beautiful. I love that. I think anxiety is such a very common thing today. I experience a lot of anxiety myself. And I think Reiki definitely helped me a lot with it. And I just feel a lot of peace. What's your clair? I'm just curious. Do you know what your clair is?
No, I don't even know.
Clairsentient,
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, what are we, is this a new term? There's so many new, another personality test or one of those things, like the human design. I was like, I've missed out already. I'm very clairsentient. Okay. And yeah, so that's like the main one for me. I've been developing more of my clairvoyance, but it's not as strong as my clairsentience or clairaudience, for sure. I hear things a lot, but I'm not as visual. A lot of people are, especially in our class, will be super visual and have all these wild things. And that's never really been my thing naturally. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I'm clairsentient. Definitely. I sense and feel a lot of energy and, just like presence and other people's energy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I've been lately tapping into my, like the visual part. So I've been kind of seeing things, here and there, but I feel like that's something that's like coming online a little bit more. So it's kind of fun to just be able
It is fun.
Yeah. To just like open up to it a little more. And I think, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I had a lot of like trauma, like coming into energy work, because of my upbringing. So it's been really nice to kind of just shed and just like clear a lot of that so that I can really be more present and grounded in, you know, my work and what I'm doing. Cause it makes such a difference, right? Cause if we don't have that grounding, if we're not feeling safe in our bodies and what we're doing, it makes it hard for us to receive and just be able to be that vessel of, you know, the energy of the light. So I feel like things are coming online a little more. So it's really fun to kind of like,
absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's something, I mean, a lot of psychic and mediums will teach this too. It's not like they're the almighty, you know, psychic and you can't have those gifts. They always teach, everyone has this. It's just about practicing it and really developing those skills. So I love that, because it's not, there's no like hierarchy of I know more than you and I have more skills in that way. Everyone can learn and develop them. You just have to practice and dive a little bit deeper if it's not the one you tend to lean in naturally, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone has these gifts for sure. And sometimes we think, oh, it's only for certain people, and it's not, absolutely not. We each have a gift, and sometimes we make it more complicated than it is, you know? It's not, it's really simple. So it's just about that awareness. It's about being open to learning and just kind of like saying, hey, you know, just being aware, like, oh, I noticed that I sense things, or like I feel things, or, you know, that kind of thing. Cause those are all gifts that we have. So yeah,
absolutely.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So I have one more question before we wrap this up. So for the woman that's on her journey, you know, really learning to, she's battling with self-image, you know, she wants to really love herself in a new way. What would you say to her? Like, what was something you would say to her that kind of just guide her in this process? Cause it can feel very lonely. Like you feel like you're, no one understands, right, what you're going through. What would you say to her?
Ooh, a lot of things, but I would say, I mean, first of all, to try and clean up your Instagram feed, be shameless about removing people that trigger you, diversify your feed, make sure that you see a lot of body diversity, because we generally don't have an accurate representation of the world in our feeds. And those algorithms are really smart at making us see the same type of body, the same type of person. And so it's really important to diversify that and to know that you're not alone, and just really remind yourself that we are all conditioned by diet culture and, you know, all the things that we have received as messaging over the years to really idolize one single body type that literally only 3% of us actually have. So just kind of reminding yourself that there is a part of you that has been conditioned to believe those things, but that's not your authentic self, and to just almost have compassion for that part of you that's learned all of this as you're kind of on this journey of deconditioning and shedding those layers. And to really start to tune into a spiritual practice. If you don't have one already, I think it's so important to have one, because you just start to feel so much more support knowing that you're not alone, and you start to receive a lot more natural guidance on how to move forward on your healing path. And you start receiving a lot of signs and different guided action steps of what to do that can further support you. And when you're open to that, it really helps your healing journey so much. And lastly, if you haven't tried EFT, I mean, you can do a lot on your own. So I'd highly recommend if you are really struggling with anxiety about your body or food, or even, you know, unrelated to your body, just like work, money, relationships, intimacy, there's nothing it can't help you with. And you can do so much just in learning the basic technique. So I would highly recommend to try that out and experience it for yourself.
Love it. Beautiful advice. Great tips. I love the first one. I had another mentor here. She's also a food freedom coach, and she said something similar about the Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's gold. Yes. And I think it's important, because having that diversity and allowing yourself, because we see the same thing all the time. So if we're constantly like putting that image in front of us, it kind of like limits our perception of like possibility and like, you know, diversity. And I love that. I think that's really important to do that.
Yeah.
How can we get a hold of you? Where can we find you? Share all the,
you want my phone number?
Yes.
You can have my direct line. Take the bat line. Text me. I don't have one of those 5555 text lines, but maybe one day. No, honestly, I always offer a free 60-minute call for anyone that's struggling and interested in what I'm doing, or is looking for freedom with their relationship with food or their body, and wants to have that confidence and really experience that inner self-worth come out. So you can always do that. I also have a YouTube channel that has a lot of free resources where you can check out these tools directly and see if that fits for you. Otherwise, obviously on Instagram, and I'm sure you'll link that out. I love hearing from people on Instagram. You can always send me a direct message. So those would be the best ways of hanging out with me. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Julia, for being here. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. You're such a sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll talk soon.
Hey girls, if you can do me a favor and just stop what you're doing, screenshot this episode and share it with a friend. This helps me out so much, you guys, to grow my platform, get the message out, and help other women that you think would really enjoy this. Also, if you haven't had a chance to rate my podcast, you can head over to iTunes. It takes a couple seconds just to quickly leave me a review. A 5-star review would be amazing. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my messages, to listen to this podcast, and really just spend time with me. It means the world to me.